SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friends. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. Mightier 1090. Serious? I don't know. There's lots of stuff. We are so many places, Bogman. Dare I say it? ITL is worldwide. Investors, possibly you. What is up, everybody? The regular season of the NFL is over. It is NFL playoff weekend. Baseball's coming around the corner. It's a brand new year. Everything is super, super calm and relaxed in 2021, right?
Just a normal year. Nothing weird happening at all this year, so that's good.
Remember 3 years ago when everyone said, hey, I'm so excited for 2020 to be over? And then it was like, that's what was going on.
I tell you what I did realize was I guess my time frame is getting bad or whatever, because I remember the last time the Steelers played the Browns in the playoffs. And I remember sitting at Goldie's and watching that game. Can you take a guess what year that was?
I feel like it has to do with the year that I ran around Goldie's screaming because Tim Rattay hit Terrell Owens on the sideline.
I don't think it was that year because the Steelers made the playoffs. So
okay. No, I do not have the answer.
All right. So this was the last time the Browns were in the playoffs. Did you hear any of that this weekend? How long it's been?
No.
18 years. It was 2003.
Browns can legally go out past midnight now.
That's what I was saying. Like the Browns can walk into a strip club. They could go buy some cigarettes. That playoff game can at this point. And the Browns got up big in that game. The Steelers came back. Me and my buddy Will were going over it. Chris Fuamatu Maafala with the game-winning touchdown in that game. So
you hear that? You just nailed that too. You nailed that like he did that field goal.
That's right. Well, no. Chris Fuamatu Maafala was the fullback. Remember the fullback?
Oh yeah. You're right. Why was I thinking of the kicker?
You're thinking of Kyahmi Fairbairn. Who had the super long last name in college and all that stuff. So
Maatu Maafala.
Chris Fuamatu Maafala. That was everyone just called him Fu.
Well, only Bogman could make the entire open of this about the Pittsburgh Steelers, but
Right. Guess
what? It is important because it is playoff weekend. What do we got going on? Well, we're breaking one tradition. We're going to be doing DFS and picks right now. We're going to do it in hour one because it is playoff weekend. There's baseball talk. There's a whole bunch to get into. Basketball. Let's see. Let's just see where it goes, guys. Don't go anywhere, though. We'll be right back. It's ITL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Patreon.com/ITL Army. That is the home base of the audio universe. That is us. It's In This League. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. We had a whole bunch of baseball stuff drop this week. If you're looking for brand new redraft ranks, we got them. Looking for prospect ranks? I got them. Dynasty? Yup. How about a prospect ADP? Yep. Even our own mocks to create an ITL ADP to get you ahead. So you don't have to maybe only look at NFBC, because places like Yahoo and ESPN and stuff, they just don't have, I don't think there's any generated ADP data. So we're there to help for you. Group me rooms, secret shows, tons and tons of stuff. Come and check us out. Beginning of the year, beginning of the month. It's a great time. $5 will get you a bunch, and you can even dip in a little bit more. Join 2020 with ITL at patreon.com/ITL Army. What in fact are you waiting for? Except if you didn't like us, you'd be like, for you guys to go away.
We'll be like,
oh, well.
Well, we will in after our 3 hours is up, but we're here now. So.
Yeah, we are here. We are here now. You were talking about the playoffs. So we are going to do some DFS. It'll be different because we're going to have probably more overlap. Bogman and I are going to be putting together here shortly our FanDuel lineups on the Saturday NFL Rush. And then there is a Saturday and a Sunday solo contest, which Bogman has some lineups for. So we are going to go through those. Also give you how week 17 went with our picks, which was how we finished out for the year. And we'll do a little playoff run and see how we do in the playoffs. I'm kind of excited about that one.
And, you know, you in the beginning rudely said only Bogman could make this completely about the Steelers, this 3 minute intro. I mean, I could make the whole 3 hours.
I mean, it was literally one of the most disinterested, least interesting playoff games is the Browns versus your Steelers. And that's what you opened up with.
It's not the least interesting. It's all the playoff games are interesting. I completely disagree with that statement. Wholly and completely disagree. All of the, I think the Bears and the Saints is much less. That game should be a slaughter. You know, the Browns and Steelers game could be close.
That's the bottom.
But anyway, my point was more towards 18 playoffless years for Cleveland Browns fans. Like, I just don't know how you live through that. That seems so unbelievably miserable. And before that, they took the franchise away and moved it to Baltimore. Like, if there's any fans in the country that can point to their team and be wholly and completely disappointed and should be able to walk away, are Browns fans. Obviously they wouldn't now. They have a great team and some unfortunate stuff going on with COVID. Their head coach is not going to be able to coach this game.
There was some dicey stuff coming into this week with the coaches. And then also, I don't know if you saw, but Rashard Higgins got like busted for drag racing.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone else was in there too. So they should be good. I mean, usually the NFL doesn't hand down suspensions until, they get to look into that type of stuff. So shouldn't affect him for this game at all whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, I was just thinking like 18 years. If the Niners didn't make the playoffs for 18 years, because I was over here upset about my 2 year playoff layoff that the Steelers had. If the Niners didn't make the playoffs for 18 years, how would you endure that? Would you even care about the Niners anymore? Like, what would you do? Well,
I think you know exactly what I would do. I would just disconnect. Like, I've had plenty of years where football just doesn't mean the same to me. I would just kind of check out a little bit, like, you know. Before we ever did podcasting, it's just like, whatever. Like the Dennis Erickson years with the 49ers, I couldn't tell you anything. I don't remember who the players were. Maybe Jeff Garcia was on the team at that time. I don't know. I just don't remember anything because I didn't care. I'm forced into caring because we do this now, but even then it would just be, I have to preset myself. I preset myself just for disappointment, which I kind of always already do. The 49ers have been big fat losers for a long time. They made some playoffs. They've gotten to a couple Super Bowls, but the problem is they don't
have to the Super Bowl against Baltimore. They went to the Super Bowl last year. Like they
lost.
I understand. But they've been like your playoff, your Super Bowl weight just for your team to get to the Super Bowl has been less time than 18 years. And you know, I know I constantly make fun of them. I'm not even saying this to make fun of the Bengals, but they haven't won a playoff game in 30 years. They've been into the playoffs, but they haven't won a playoff game since 1990. So, like, this is unbelievable levels of terribleness.
What I also think is really incredible is, if I'm looking at this correctly, and you'll obviously correct me if I say it wrong, but I think you guys are the only division in the NFL that brought three teams. There are three teams from your division. The Bengals are the only one that are sitting home seeing. It is literally like four friends and three of them are out on Instagram taking pictures at the club and the other one is sitting at home, you know, eating Ben and Jerry's like that.
Right.
Sucks. They're sitting at home, but it's amazing that division. And there's from that storyline to something I still can't get over, week 17 kind of, you know, quick and pass for me. And then when I was going through and you know, making some updates and whatnot, one of the things that stood out to me was, oh my God, we had two 200-yard rushers in the final week of week 17. Oh my God.
Oh my God, I can't believe Derrick Henry ran for so many yards.
we almost facetiously on the Black Book, Fantasy Black Book podcast, you, me, and Joe Pisapia, like 3-4 weeks ago, whatever, said, yeah, it's within striking distance. You know, it's within striking distance for Derrick Henry to get to 2,000 yards.
I thought he was going to get it because, remember, I did the math. It was 223 yards,
yeah.
And the Texans were dead last, 32nd in the NFL against the run. It was week 17. They kind of cashed it in. I thought they definitely hadn't, but they had so little on defense. They just, it was embarrassing. No one wanted to tackle Derrick Henry.
But we talked about it even weeks ago, and like, I'm super into markers like that. I'm really into, like, I grew up in a time where, like, in the 90s, that the 1,000-yard club was a big deal. The 3,000 passing and the 1,000 became this huge landmark type of thing. Trading card companies did it. Everyone kind of, like, that was the determination of how good you were, is if you hit that. Now, that's obviously changed over time, you know, with so many people doing this and that. But, like, the 2,000 is insanely special to me. This is going to sound maybe stupid. It's almost more special than a guy getting like 20 touchdowns. It's because there are so many dominant players that when you look at the receiving and rushing, you'll see like, yep, 17 touchdowns. That guy got 19. Like 20 is an insane marker.
Well, but this is the 8th time in NFL history it's ever happened.
2,000 rushing yards. And he did it by dropping 250 on the final game of the season. That's crazy.
I thought when you were the final, I thought final was going to be something else. I'm like, oh, you're going to get $100 here in 2021. That's nice.
To send you back that $100 that you sent me earlier.
But since we're talking about 2,000 yard rushers, do you remember the last person to do it? I'll give you the year. It was 2012.
Was it Jamal Anderson? Or Jamal Lewis?
Yeah. Jamal Lewis did it in 2003. That was
2012.
There have been two since him. One in 2009.
AP?
Yes. Okay. Peterson in 2012 rushed for 2,097 yards.
Hold on. Let me try to name the other.
Yeah.
We're naming them all. So I've named Jamal Lewis, Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson. There's five more, right?
Yes. Okay. Five more.
Eric Dickerson, 100%.
Dickerson, yes, in 1984.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson in 1973.
Ooh, there's three more?
Three more.
Can you give me years?
I can. 97, 98, and 09.
Oh, man. Oh, was Eddie George do it?
No, same team.
Earl Thomas?
No. The CJ2K. You're thinking of Earl Campbell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Earl Campbell. I was thinking of Earl Campbell. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Chris Campbell, Johnson.
But I said 2009. So, yeah, Chris Johnson.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The other two.
I don't know the other two.
Well, one of them is an unbelievably, probably one of the best running backs in the history.
Ladainian Tomlinson?
No.
Emmitt Smith?
Nope. Greatest runner you've ever witnessed in your life.
Oh, Barry Sanders.
Yes. Barry Sanders. And the last one.
Okay. I don't even remember that.
That was 97 because no one had done it since 84.
Here, let's do this. We have to go to break.
You're right.
I'm going to think about this last one here. You give me the year. All of you scream and think about it. We'll give the last of the 8,000 or 2,000 yard rushers on the other side. Plus DFS picks. Don't go anywhere in the Sickle Green.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Check ITL out on any of the places that you listen to podcasts. Not only will you find this show that you're listening to right now, maybe you're listening to it on a podcast. Hi, thank you. But maybe you're listening on one of the many platforms like the Mightier 1090 on air in San Diego. Maybe it's Sports Grid, you know, a million other places. You can get ITL, any podcast platform. Just search In This League, and you'll find the baseball. Well, you might find the baseball on Google. You'll find it in other places. Baseball, football, basketball, Prospect One, college football, the Fantasy Black. I mean, there's so much stuff. Just search it. You'll find it. Subscribe and stay with us. all the time, and we would appreciate you very much. So we were talking about Derrick Henry being the eighth NFL running back to rush for 2,000 yards in a single season. I got five of them, and I had missed Barry Sanders, which blew my mind because I, for whatever reason, I had forgot, and Chris Johnson was one. And there was one more. Which year was this one? Was this the 2009 or the 1997?
No, this is 1998. Barry was 97. Okay. And then this guy was 98. And then Jamal Lewis in 2003, Chris Johnson 2009, AP in 2012. No, where did Earl Thomas run for 2,000 yards, Welsh? You were thinking of Earl Campbell.
I was
Earl
thinking
Thomas.
Of Earl Campbell. Yeah. Earl, yeah. Who is Earl Thomas?
Earl Thomas used to play safety in the NFL.
That's
the
right. He's the one who likes to do the thing with his brother.
And the Seahawks. Yeah.
He likes to do the thing with his brother. And
he also did one of these to the sidelines, remember, when he got hurt for Seattle?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Can you believe that guy was such a team player? He's such a team player with his own brother. He couldn't get a job in the NFL again.
You know, sometimes it pays to be a team player. And sometimes you just need to be selfish is what I would say in that situation. So
we don't all need to be Eskimo brothers. All right. So the last one, 1998. Can you give me another hint?
Shorter career in the NFL.
Terrell Davis.
That's it.
Is that Terrell Davis? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. I think that hint was probably a bit much, but
I mean, that guy, I'll be honest with you. He came in my mind when we were the Barry Sanders one. He was in my head, but I was like, I don't know if he ever did that. And all right. So again, it was
with 2000, just over. So Derrick Henry this year at 2023. So the guys that had more than that, Dickerson is 2105. Barry is 2053, 2097 for AP and 2066 for Jamal Lewis. So this will go down as the fifth highest total in rushing yards in NFL history.
Wow, that's crazy.
In a single season.
And he's going to be...
None of it will matter next year when we go to 17 games. So
Yeah, if we do, it won't. 100% right, and that's the stuff that kills me. And he's going to be able to continue on adding to that total number. I'd love to see regular season plus playoff number.
That's... I mean, I don't have it on me. I have no idea. But I will tell you what, O.J. Simpson welcomed Derrick Henry to the 2,000-yard club over Twitter.
There you go. And did he do a... Hey, Twitter world.
He did. I wasn't. That stuff is so painfully embarrassing. It's hard for me to watch. I feel like any video that OJ puts up is just, it makes me shudder a little bit. I'm just, will you just go away? You know, like just go away. Quit trying to force yourself into the limelight wherever you can.
OJ's like, Derek, you really killed the competition.
Yeah. You carved him up.
Carved those safeties up. Man, you would have thought Al Collins was driving you through the line. That was amazing. Who's that fullback? Is that, I mean, OJ is he is something else. And we all accept it. And we all just sit there and we're just like, oh, that crazy murderer. He's just sitting out there just being silly on Twitter, you know, and he killed two people. And, you know, he gets to stand out and walk away and talk to Derrick Henry because he killed two people.
Yeah,
he's a murderer.
Did you ever see the SNL skit where they had Tim Meadows playing OJ as a sideline reporter and he was drawing up the plays? And like every time he drew up a play, it was like a confession. It was like, this wide receiver goes up here, this wide receiver goes up here, and he's writing out, I did it. Right. And then there was one where like he's like, see the safety cuts back this way, and then this linebacker comes around this way, and he's drawing like a bloody knife. Like it was a great skit.
I want to send that to me. I want to see that one. I'll definitely want to
send it to you for sure.
All right. Well, we can see if Derrick Henry is going to fit into our lineups here, because we are going to rock here the NFL rush, the Saturday NFL rush, which includes Saturday and Sunday games. So I don't know when you're listening to this, if you'll even be able to play our lineups, but you can follow along. But Bogman will have a Saturday and Sunday slate for you. So the Saturday one probably really won't be a big play, but you can just talk about it, but the Sunday one will be good. So last week, we played last week, didn't we? Let's see.
Donovan, we did.
Did you? It sounds like you won.
I have no idea. I didn't get, week 17. We both got the email from Donovan, but I have not had a single chance to look at it.
You had a monster week.
How many points did I score?
174.
All right, that's not a monster, because the guy who won the 300K scored 253.
Okay. Well, compared to ours, yeah, you might not have cashed. You had a monster week. Derrick Henry, of course, Lamar Jackson scored 25. AJ Brown scored you 31. Darnell Mooney with 20. Your Jets and Jimmy Graham plays kind of bombed out. Judy had 27. I had a couple great plays. I had Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry, who both scored over 30. Justin Jefferson over 20, but everything else sucked. Allen Robinson blew. CJ Beathard, everybody else just garbage. I scored like 137 points, so you won. And I think you've heavily taken this competition. Unless I think I would have to cleanly run through the playoffs. I think that's the only way that I can do it. If I run out the playoffs, I can win, and I actually feel okay. I really like my lineup this week. So should I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the NFL Saturday rush, 100K to first is what we're doing. So this combines both lineups. I'm going big. What's that?
Tourney lineup, like a big money lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I'm going big at quarterback because obviously our plays are limited. And at 9,300, give me Lamar Jackson versus Tennessee. I think he's the top guy. Yeah. So Lamar Jackson, 9,300. My number one running back, I'm going back to the well with my guy, Jonathan Taylor, up against Buffalo's defense. Jonathan Taylor at 8,800. Love. And I'm stacking him with Nick Chubb, who has got a tough defensive matchup against Pittsburgh Steelers at 7,700. But he is all of the offense that is the Cleveland Browns. My wide receivers, I cheaped on a little bit, but I'm stacking Lamar Jackson with Marquise Brown, who is going up against that Tennessee defense, who is poorish in the secondary at 6,300. I'm taking Antonio Brown with me versus Washington. He will be the, he's going to be the secondary option behind, but
Evans is looking like he's good to go. And I don't know if he's going to be a decoy or not, but he's practicing. So that injury looked scary. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be ready to rock.
And we'll see how much he plays. But, you know, in absence, Antonio Brown caught 7 balls. Even not, he can, you know, we've seen drives this season of Tom Brady only targeting Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
my third wide
receiver, he's really starting to get his chemistry down with Tom. That's for sure.
It's there. And if you are missing, here's a big thing for me. If you're missing Mike Evans in all of the action, Antonio Brown becomes a huge red zone target if Mike Evans is not there. So that's kind of the big play, and he's cheap at 6,500. And then my final wideout at 6,100 is Chase Claypool, the cheaper of the Pittsburgh wide receivers. He's going to be in plenty of this stuff. He's going to be in the lineups. He's gotten the ball a little bit less, but in poorish Cleveland secondary, I like Chase Claypool. My tight end, I'm sticking in that Baltimore-Tennessee game. I got a lot of running there, and I'm going with Jonnu Smith at 5,200. He's been fine, and I think this is the time to shine. My flex, give me the running back in Baltimore. I'm going to go Gus Edwards, not Dobbins, because I got some expensive ones already up top. Gus Edwards at 5,700, and then I'm going to throw out Tampa Bay's defense against the Washington football team, because that seems like the place I want to go defensively with that really, really tough Tampa Bay team. And I'm not sure how Washington is going to fare in the playoffs. So again, my lineup, Lamar Jackson, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Marquise Brown, Antonio Brown, Chase Claypool, Jonnu Smith, Gus Edwards, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense.
I can't believe we did it, Welsh, but we did it. 0 crossover.
Wow. Really?
It's unbelievable that we waited until there are only 6 games to have no crossovers at all.
That's amazing.
My quarterback, the Welsh, is going to be Josh Allen up against Indy. And I know Indy's defense is good, but Josh Allen right now is playing on a complete different level from anyone else. So I got to have Josh Allen at 9,000 in that lineup. My running backs, I went expensive. Derrick Henry, he's just, no one can stop him right now. He's running downhill. 10,200. And then I went with the guy you didn't go with in that Baltimore game, J.K. Dobbins at 6,800. Just been getting more and more run. Tennessee's defense is definitely the weakness on that team. So I'm rolling out Dobbins. Had to go a little cheaper on the wideouts because of those big-name running backs. Deontay Johnson at 7,000. He just gets, when Ben's in there, he gets targeted a million times. So that's an easy one for me. Michael Thomas at 6,800. I know he's coming back off the injury, but this is too cheap for me to not take him. I think he's too good of an option. They purposely sat him for 3 weeks to bring him back for this. Great, he's going to be heavily involved. Cam Sims is my last wideout at 4,900. He's a nice deal. I believe Washington should be down in this game against Tampa Bay. He should get targets. He's on the field all the time. My cheap out options here, defense and tight end. Well, my flex here is Allen Robinson at 7,200 against New Orleans. Once again, they should be down. He should get the ball a bunch of times, at least get targeted a bunch of times. I cheaped out on tight end and defense. I went with the Seattle Seahawks on defense. They've been playing much better than they were in the first half of the season. Second half has been the Seattle defense at 3,600. They're playing against maybe a backup quarterback in Wolford for the Rams. And then Adam Trautman for the Saints going up against Chicago. He just had a lot of snaps last week. So I'm a big Trautman guy for this week. So once again, just burning through it. Josh Allen, J.K. Dobbins, Derrick Henry, Cam Sims, Deontay Johnson, Michael Thomas, Adam Trautman, Allen Robinson, and the Seattle Seahawks defense.
Big plays. We don't have a single crossover. This is going to be big. Your boy has got to win out to be able to compete on our season-long contest against Bogman, because I'm pretty sure that was three games he has a lead on. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Bogman's going to give you that Sunday lineup, and we're going to go through our picks for the wild card weekend right here on ITL. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
That's $4.
Welcome back, friendos. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. Thank you guys for tuning in to this weekend edition in the brand new year, 2021, with your boys, Bogman and the Welsh. We're going to get to our picks here for NFL Sunday playoff weekend, see how that goes, and maybe possibly review how we did during the season. Maybe not. I don't know. But Bogman, you said you have got some individual lineups. Feel free to drop the Saturday one, but I think the Sunday one is really interesting. So you did some specific day only ones.
Yeah. And I'll just give you my Saturday one. I'll run through this one pretty quick. I got Josh Allen again. I just love that matchup. I don't love the matchup. I just love the way Josh Allen has been playing recently. Huge playoff game. You know, you don't take your foot off the gas in playoff games either. So, and I think I was reading on PFF, the pace of this game should be fairly high as well. So Josh Allen at 9,000. Antonio Gibson and Jonathan Taylor are my running backs. So I took a page out of your book from the overall slate and went with Jonathan Taylor here against Buffalo, and Antonio Gibson at 6,200 against Tampa Bay. I just think he gets involved a little bit more this week. Then we've got Chris Godwin for Tampa Bay. Like you said, Mike Evans, probably a decoy. He's somewhat affordable here at 7,800. Had a big week last week. Looks finally healthy this year for once. So I'm excited about him. Robert Woods, 6,700. Cooper Kupp coming back up off the COVID list. I mean, this is going to be a big fingers crossed that our guy Jared Goff plays, because if it's Wolford, I will definitely be switching that. But I just assume that Goff is going to be able to go. I think we would have heard by now if he wasn't going to be able to go. And then DK Metcalf. I know he didn't do good against Ramsey and the Rams in that first matchup. Second matchup was better, but still not great. I think this is the one where he breaks it out because they have to. He's going to have to do it. Logan Thomas as my tight end because he has had some huge weeks as of recently. Steven Sims, same deal before, just a lot of snaps. They should be down and throwing the ball. And the Seattle defense, once again, because there is a possibility that they'll be playing against. It's either going to be a banged up Goff or Wolford. So I think the Seattle defense is one of the nicer buys of the week at 3,600 here. So that is my Saturday lineup.
Which we got on Sunday. So this is probably a big one. Sunday. As people are listening, a Sunday only lineup.
Sunday. All right. So this one is, I don't know. Like, I feel so good about this lineup. I have no idea how everything fit in here. So I've got Lamar Jackson, 9,300 as my quarterback. Okay. Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb as my two RBs.
That's my exact lineup from the other one so far.
10-2, 7,700. That's right. My wide receivers, I got Deontay at 7,000, Deontay Johnson against Cleveland, Michael Thomas against Chicago at 68, Anthony Miller had to reach cheap, guy's still on the field a ton, so we're going with him at 4,700. I went down to the bottom of the well for my tight end again, another Adam Trautman. That's going to pay off if he gets in the end zone. If he only gets a couple catches, it is what it is. You got to go cheap somewhere. And then Chase Claypool, another one I'm pulling from your Saturday and Sunday slate at 6,100. And then the defense was the hardest part to pick. I went with the Bears. I'm not really excited about it, but they're the cheapest option. Maybe we'll get something from them on defense. So this is kind of studs and scrubs type of a lineup. Lamar, Henry, Chubb, Deontay, Michael Thomas, Anthony Miller, Troutman, Claypool, and the Chicago Bears defense. That is my Sunday lineup, Welsh.
There you go. So you guys can play those out. Let us know how it goes. Over to our picks. We did it the whole season. We all ended on a stinker. Me especially ended on the biggest stinker. The season total, I mean, do we have to talk about week 17? Do we need to do
that? I mean, look, week 17 is almost impossible. It eats me up every year. And I said this at the beginning of the season. Week 1, week 17 are the two hardest to predict every single year. Like, at least now in the playoffs, you know, these teams are going to be going all out, balls to the wall, every single snap. You have no idea what did you think about the whole Philly thing and bringing in Nate Sudfeld at the end of the game and Joe Judge being very upset about that, Welsh? Like, we didn't do Black Book this week, so we didn't get to talk about it, but benching Jalen Hurts at the end of the game and not going for the game-tying field goal, and there was a lot of...
Seemed like it was a payoff. Little payoff there. Little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants players just losing their mind after.
Well, you won six games. That's what I'll say about the Giants. Like, you won six games. I agree with Joe Judge that this isn't something that any team should strive to do, is to tank at the end of the year so your rival doesn't win or whatever. But also, if you're looking at it from the 30,000 foot view, I think the Eagles went from pick 9 to pick 6 if they would have won. So now they get a top 6 pick. I mean, that's yeah. It's for the good of their franchise, but you made a lot of players disrespect. I mean, now a lot of players do not respect anything that Doug Peterson's going to do moving forward. So how can you keep him in charge of this team? I'm very surprised by that.
I think there's also just so much. I just don't know when people are going to get there, but there's this week 17 was just so perfect for our point of how atrociously bad playing to week 17 is. I have a friend who told me, he was like, "Hey, I wanted to tell you something. Won my first championship in 19 years. And I'm like, in my league." And I was like, "Wow." Cause he's always told me about it. I'm like, "That's awesome, man." And like, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I had this guy and this guy." And he's like, "The guy I played was really good during the season, who had Patrick Mahomes, but then, you know, they benched him in week 17. So he had to go and pick up, I don't even remember who he said. Andy Dalton is who he said. He had to go pick up Andy Dalton as his quarterback."
And he said week 17, you just blanked out from the rest of the conversation.
Well, but it was one of those things where it was just like, it's like, that's great you won, but I mean, look at the opponent. How pissed does your opponent have to be? And think of all of the crazy matchups. I mean, the one that we were in question about, we were really not sure about how the Buffalo Bills were going to tackle theirs, and they just went at it. But most teams didn't, you know, and teams would be quick to take players out. And it's just it's a disaster that week 17
but
is.
Teams played hard that you didn't expect to, too. I mean, look at how hard fought that Minnesota and Detroit game was. Nothing was on the line in that game. And that was a close game. It was a fun one to watch.
That's where the weird stuff comes from. I had a horrific against the spread week, 4-12, 6-9 on the over under. You were 8-8 against the spread, 5-10 on the over under. And Bubba was the exact same as you, 8-8 against the spread and 5-10 over under. I finished 5 games under 500 against the spread. Little bit more than that over under. You had a really great against the spread year, and you know, frankly, like, Bubba was a couple games over 500 against the spread. He was about like me under as far as bad on over unders. You were really bad over unders, but 130 for 104 against the spread you were this year. That is phenomenal. I don't know, what is that percent?
I don't know, you know, a little over 50. Not overly fantastic, but it was a good year. Yeah, I mean, you know, being over 500 is great against, you know, spreads and stuff like that. I mean, you know, Vegas wins 51%. That's what makes them the millions, is the margins. So, I mean, it was a good year. I'm extremely disappointed by my over-unders, because I was so good at over-unders last season. So, We're going to get them both next year. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go over 500 in both in 2021. It's going to be a better year.
We'll get those. And a shout out to our boy Donovan Miller and Eric Toff, who both helped track a lot of stuff this year for DFS. And Donovan literally sent us a sheet after every single week and was sending us how results were and stuff like that. So shout out to those guys. So that leads us to playoff weekend. We got six games here, Bogman. We don't have a ton of time, but we can get through these bad boys. And let's see, it's a clean slate. This is the playoff. This is not going to count towards our total because that was a regular season. We're now in playoff pick mode. So we are 0-0-0-0 across the board here. And let's pick it up right at Indianapolis going to Buffalo. Buffalo is a 6.5-point home playoff favorite. The over-under is set at 51. And Boggs, I'm just going to throw out my first one. I think Buffalo wins this, but I think this is a close-ish game. And I think the 6.5 points makes me want to stick in with Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor has been a beast. I think Buffalo is going to have a hard time containing him. T.Y. Hilton has picked back up. Rivers is built for this. He's got the most experience. And Indianapolis' defense against Buffalo, they're not going to stop him, but I think they're one of the better matchups for this. And Buffalo is on an absolute tear. And yes, I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo opened this one way up. This is the playoffs where anything can happen. So I'm going to take the points for Indianapolis, and I'm going to go with the over. But if I were picking straight, I think Buffalo is going to win this game.
I'm going to go against you as far as against the spread goes. I'm going to go with Buffalo. The thing that I think I would agree with you, and I'd take Indy for sure. I mean, the line is close enough to where I don't have a hard argument against Indy. But really, it's Buffalo getting that home field advantage, and it's not going to be crazy weather. But it's going to be 29 degrees in Buffalo when they play, and that's a Saturday game. And, you have this team coming from a dome, and also before that, Phillip Rivers coming from L.A. and San Diego, not a big cold weather guy. So give me Buffalo in this game. But I'm going to roll with you on that over. I do think both teams are going to have to score to get there. So Buffalo in the over for me.
Rams at Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks are a 3.5-point home playoff favorite. Lowest line of the week, 42.5. Probably a lot to do with some of the quarterback stuff. What do you think?
Run away from this game. I don't want to bet it at all. Both these teams kind of backing into the playoffs. I mean, the Rams get in with John Wolford because the Cardinals were just poorly coached and Kyler Murray was too hurt. So both teams backing in. I'll take Seattle because they're at home, but I'm going to take the under in this game. We don't know what's going on with Goff. Seattle's defense has been the strong part of their team for the last 8 weeks of the regular season. So I am going to take the under, even though this is a low over at 42.5, like you mentioned. Give me the home team in Seattle and give me the under.
I am going to go Seattle, and I'm going to take the over, though. It's a really, really low marker. I could see Seattle getting up early. The Rams are just not going to just, lay on their backs and have their bellies rubbed. And they've got some good offensive weapons, especially with Cooper Kupp back, and Robert Woods can stretch it out. And Seattle plays really bad on that. And Goff would allow this to open up if he's there. So it's a low line. I'm going to go with the over. It's playoff football, but I'm going to take Seattle. Tampa Bay is going to Washington. That's amazing too, that they're going to Washington, but Tampa Bay is an 7.5-point road favorite. 44.5 is the line.
Yeah, this is Tampa Bay to me. I mean, I love Washington's passion. Chase Young saying, I want Tom Brady and all that stuff. Bruce Arians was right though. Be careful what you wish for. Brady is the system, right? So just incredible year for him. Washington just doesn't have enough in the tank on offense to roll with these guys. So this is going to be easy Tampa Bay, and give me the over.
I'm not sure what Washington does offensively against them. I'm taking Tampa Bay, and I'm going with the under because I'm not seeing
Washington. Like a 35-3 game or something like that.
But it might also just be like a 24-3 game. That might, Tampa Bay can be successful while holding Washington back, and I'm just not really sure where Washington is. I think we got time for one more, and then on the other side, we'll get the other two. Baltimore at Tennessee. Baltimore's a 3.5-point road favorite. 54.5, the highest line. What do you got, Boggs?
You got Baltimore. I'll go with the over, too. Baltimore has been playing great on offense, running the ball specifically well, but Tennessee scores on anybody. So I'm going to say Baltimore because it's 3, but I'm also going to take the over.
I'm going to go with Baltimore with you on that one. I think this is a prime set for them.
Revenge game, too. This is who Tennessee beat Baltimore in the playoffs last year.
And I think Tennessee's offense is going to be countered by that Baltimore defense, but 54.5 is a lot. I'm going to take the under on it. I'm going to say Baltimore on the 3.5, but give me the under, especially, you know, if I assume Baltimore, this is my logic. If we were hitting the over, I actually like Tennessee a little bit more because that means they are just successfully scoring at will. And if they can do that with Derrick Henry, they're on. I'm assuming that's not going to happen, so I'm going to tap the under. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we've got two more games, Chicago, New Orleans, and the Cleveland Browns at Bogman's Pittsburgh Steelers. Rest of the playoffs right here on ITL. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
It's in this league. I am the Welsh. That is the Bogman. And we are back talking playoff football, wild card weekend. We were just going through our picks, brand new slate for picks. We went through the first four games. Next up, as we've only got a couple minutes here, Bogman, Chicago at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 9.5-point favorite. That is the biggest differential. 47.5 is the line.
Yeah, look, Chicago's been playing hard. I know they got smoked by Green Bay, but I think Green Bay is far and away one of the best teams in the NFL. I'm going to take Chicago against the spread. I fully expect New Orleans to win this game, but give me Chicago against the spread. Give me the under. I think this slightly trends towards the under. I think both these teams should run the ball a decent amount. So Chicago and the under for me.
This is one of those similar to what you were guessing with me with Tampa Bay and Washington. I think this is more New Orleans scoring a lot of points, Chicago scoring a little bit at the end so they can tap the over. But I like New Orleans taking this game, even at the 9.5. Final game, the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh favored by 6. 47.5 is the over-under. And I just want to point out, you and I have not agreed wholeheartedly across the board. We have not agreed on one single one of these games on the same against the spread and over combined. Maybe until now.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the over in this game. And I don't look, you know, I would probably take the Browns if their head coach was going to be there. But with Stefanski not being able to be at the game physically because of COVID, I think this just lends towards Pittsburgh. They're also getting healthier. Spillane and Filer back to practice could be activated for this game for Pittsburgh as well. You know, great season for Cleveland. They got a lot to build on here. But I think just missing their head coach is going to be a little bit too much to overcome for them. So give me the Steelers and give me the over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't personally see the head coach playing that big of a role where I would take Cleveland if he was there. Pittsburgh's a better team. Ben's had some rest. The guys got some rest. They're going to get rocking. They're built for this. The Pittsburgh Steelers are built for this. They also were handed some adversity during the season, and I just don't think Cleveland is going to be able to hold water. So this is the one game we agree, Pittsburgh and the over. And friends, that is your playoff matchup. Clean slate. We'll see how it goes. Hour three or hour two. I was about to say, we always do this when brother's coming up here. It's not because we moved this over. So I'm still here and you don't go anywhere. Hopefully you are too. Bogman and I, we got a whole bunch more to talk about in this league. Hour two coming up.